with AIM Air, and we also are supporting, partially supporting Wes and Judy Robbie in the Philippines with fruit bearers, and Ian Smith is a missionary with Converge that's been in Japan for 4 years, and he's just got back for some home assignment, and hopefully we'll get to hear him sometime during his time here. We have supported Chrissy Close. We're still supporting her with prayer. She's in Liberia now, not on a ship. And also Acts 8. Do we have some connection with Acts 8, especially the work they do in Ethiopia? Also, our missions committee hasn't had a lot of meetings because there hasn't been a lot to do and not a lot of extra funds to do stuff with. But we've had some feelers from missionary candidates with Converge. One, a woman who wants to go to Lebanon and work with refugees, most of them being Muslim, but there are also Christians from Syria as well. And another couple that wants to go to Germany. And that's kind of interesting because, of course, Stanley has German roots, and so now maybe we'll get involved with supporting missionaries to Germany. A couple ways to get you more interested and involved and informed about missions. One is the newsletters. Joel and Lorena have a newsletter, and their latest one, which is in the back. You can get signed up on their list. It's really interesting. Another way is on the adventures, what's happening in adventure. Every week at the bottom is change the world. Interesting. Linda and I were missionaries in Romania. We didn't change the world, but we sure got changed. And hopefully in a good way. But there's the websites for a couple of the missionaries that we work with on that. And also, if you want to contact me, just my email is lindamilth@gmail.com, lindamilth, H for Hansen. And you can also contact the church office, and I'm sure that the church could get in touch with me. So we'd like everybody to be more interested, want to get more involved, more informed. And another one thing, just real quickly, is Mission Fest is every October, and that's going to be in Bellevue, and that's just a fantastic thing if you're interested in missions, way to get even more involved. Newsletters. Joel and Lorena's newsletter is just fantastic. Linda said, be sure to mention their newsletter about the cats 2 years ago. And they've said, we really appreciate our cats. Not only are they pets, but they help to get rid of all the little critters in our yard, like the centipedes and the little mice and all the other critters. And because there's no critters in our yard, the cobras decide not to come into our yard because there's nothing there to come in for. And so it's safer to spend time and play in the yard because of the cats. So that's kind of a challenge. It makes me, I don't have to drive an hour and a half and commute every day, like a lot of you do. But if I did, hearing stories like that would make me not complain about the commuting. And also I read their last newsletter on email about a month ago, and I was just convicted and challenged and blessed. I got two paragraphs in. I said, here's this couple that we're helping to support. They obviously are 100% surrendered, 100% submitted to the Lord. It's just obvious. And then right with that, if you're surrendered 100%, you're also dependent 100% on the Lord. And you don't have to go to Africa to do that. Linda and I, we learned how to be that way in a lot easier country called Romania. And you can also be that way staying here. But it's just wonderful. And I've talked too long already, so here's Joel.
Thanks, Milt. Thank you. Good morning. Wow, I didn't see all these people come in. I'm nervous now. Thank you so much. This is such a treat and a privilege to be back here in Adventure. A lot of you, we know. A lot of you, we have journeyed an incredible journey with. We started back here in Adventure about 12 years ago. So a lot of these faces I look out and I say, it's like, oh, hey, ooh, I need to talk to that person. I need to talk to that person afterwards. But for those of you who do not know us, we are Joel and Lorena King. And we have a daughter Renee, who is 15, and our son Ian is 14. And we live in Kenya, Africa. We have been there for the last 5 years working with Africa Inland Mission and AIM Air. I am a pilot and a mechanic. I am also the base manager for AIM Air in Okeechobee, one of three bases where we operate. We fly for Africa Inland Mission, but for about 70 other mission organizations around East and Central Africa. Mission organizations, evangelical ministries that are working to reach the Central and East Africa. These countries, just quick geography lesson for those of you who need a refresher real quick. There's Africa. East and Central Africa kind of consist of Kenya, Uganda, South Sudan, Central Africa Republic, and Congo. I also have flown down into Burundi and Tanzania as well. This is kind of been the first opportunity. We just arrived stateside a couple weeks ago, and so this is actually, this morning was kind of a dry run for those of you here there this morning. You saw a little bit of raw emotion. As we step out of where we have been for the last 3 years and we start to process a lot of what we've seen and a lot of what we've been through and a lot of what we've been involved with, I had a little emotion thinking through that and processing through that and trying to share that. So bear with me as I try and get my bearings as I tell some of these stories. Over the last year, 8 years, we have been on an incredible journey. Just how God has been moving us in so many different ways. It started here at Adventure about 12 years ago. Beautiful, comfortable life, doing really well financially, great jobs, had just built a brand new house right up on the hill, right at the top of the hill here. We were comfortable. We were loving life. We were doing well. We got involved with Adventure and started following and learning from a lot of the teachings here on who our true design is and who God truly meant us to be. And over time, as we learned and as we developed and as we matured in our faith, God started to move us and he started to make our life a little uncomfortable. Uncomfortable in a good way. Being uncomfortable when you're trying to follow God is not necessarily a bad thing. It means that God might be trying to move you in a different direction than where you're at. And so he started to make us a little feel uncomfortable. We started feeling like this might not be where we're supposed to be. And so we started looking into it. We started praying about it and we started researching, God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to be? What do you want us to do? And God moved us. He brought us up to a point where we were ready to take what we had learned, what we had experienced here at Adventure and here, and take us somewhere else where we could then share and give that gift and give that treasure to somebody else. He moved us halfway around the world. It was a tough move. It really was. It was very difficult to say goodbye to so many beautiful people that we absolutely loved here. But I'll tell you what, it's been one of the most amazing 5 years we've ever experienced in our life. Especially knowing that we moved in God's will and we were right where he wanted us to be. We arrived in Kenya exactly 5 years ago, Friday, July 13th, 2013. We arrived there. We were in Nairobi first, where we spent the first year learning to adapt to the culture, learning to work with the people. For me, it was learning to fly and do maintenance in a foreign country, learn the language, get adapted to this distant land God sent us to. He sent us there to show the love of Christ. And that's what we're there to do. After the first year, it was time, first year in Nairobi, our first year in Kenya, it was time we felt God moving us again. And we felt God moving us in a direction of a place called Okeechobee. Now, through this whole process, as God has been moving us, it has been incredible to see how God has moved us together. In that as God was working in my heart of where he was trying to direct us, he was also working in Lorena's heart at the exact same time. And when we came to that point where we started to openly discuss it, it was amazing to see how He worked in each of us to come to the same place, headed in the same direction. That was confirmation to us each time that this is where God wants us to be. And so going to Locachogio, it was not an easy decision. I had been there. And it is not my idea of a vacation destination, if you know what I mean. It's hot. It's in the middle of the desert. It's northern Kenya, right there where the dot is. It's if you look at like a Google Earth map satellite view, you'll get all this area all up here is all green. Everything's green all around Uganda. All this stuff is green. This is all green down here. This right here, solid brown. And that means desert. That means hot, dusty, desolate, dry. We're at the end of the road, basically, in Kenya before you get into South Sudan. We're 40 kilometers from the South Sudan border. I think I had even begged God, after being up there a couple times, but knowing that we're might be where he's leading us, I think I begged him. I was like, dear God, please don't send me there. Kind of like conversation I had about 10 years ago. A lot of you remember that story. Where 10 years ago, I felt God asking me, why are you so afraid to talk to me? And my answer was, I'm afraid of what you're going to ask me to do. I'm afraid you're going to send me to Africa. True story. A lot of you remember that. I wrote it in my journal. But that was the start of this journey of letting God speak into my heart and say, hey, I got you. And I've got a design for you, and I've got a plan for your life. On our prayer cards, you'll see, they're not here yet. They'll be here next Sunday. We were late getting them out of the printer. But on the back of our prayer cards, you'll see a verse there. Our verse is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. And so we were looking at Locachogio. Loki is the end of the road for Kenya. It's extremely remote, dusty, and dry. But Locachogio has been our home for the last 4 years. Now, that picture looks all nice and green and everything. You step back at about 15 feet, and it's completely dry desert. That's just a lot of water right there. But we made Loki, we made our home, we made it home. We made it a little oasis where we could go out and we could pour our hearts and our souls and our work out into the people and the places that we were going and seeing. But we had a little oasis to come back to. Last time we were here, we told stories about things like the treasure. This is a solar Bible that we were distributing and using. It's the Bible, a lot of cases in the New Testament, sometimes New and Old Testament. But it's the Word of God, the Scripture, in an audio format on a solar device that we were handing out and we were using with ministries, giving it to people out in the bush of Africa who have never heard the Word of God. People who can't read, who can't write, but they can hear. And they can hear in their own language, in their own tongue, their mother tongue, the love of Jesus and why we were there and why he came, more importantly. Told stories of freedom from spiritual darkness and witchcraft. Stories with honor group ladies. Lorena is going to have a chance to come up here in just a little bit and bless you guys with a couple of just amazing stories of her experience within them and her ministry. Stories about moving South Sudanese pastors, going out into the bush of South Sudan and picking up pastors in all these different places, young pastors, new pastors. And bringing them to a Bible college where they could learn from biblical professors, theological professors, and learn how to better reach the people that they were trying to reach in their own community. And then taking them back into these communities and seeing God move that church and grow that church and bring up new leaders. That was a privilege and an honor to be able to fly these young men. We told stories about reaching the unreached, building new mission stations, and supporting those missionaries in those areas where the gospel had never been. In Africa, there's over 3,600 people groups. And out of that 3,600 people groups, there's over 1,000, documented 1,000 people groups who have never heard the word of God. That's hard to register. But I've flown over thousands of miles of Central and East Africa, and it's pretty obvious why they've never heard. This is some of the most rugged, desolate terrain you've ever seen. And all throughout all the hills and the mountains and the plains and the deserts and the flatlands, there's little pockets of villages all over the place. But there's no roads. You'll see little trails leading in between them, intersecting them. But there's people out there living off the land like they've done for thousands of years. But they don't have the word of God. They don't have the gift. They don't have the treasure that we know. A lot of people say, why use airplanes? Isn't that kind of an elaborate expense? We use airplanes because we can reach these people. We can reach these people where nobody else ever been. We use these airplanes to support missionaries and ministries who are on the front lines of taking the gospel places that most people can't go. 85% of my time is flying in South Africa. South Africa is one of the newest countries in the world. It's 7 years old. And since its independence, it has been... South Africa. I'm sorry. Thank you. South Sudan. 85% of my time is spent in South Sudan. And it's one of the... Yeah, South Africa is not one of the newest countries. Good catch. Nobody else caught that. Oh, one there back there. Okay, Lawrence caught it. Okay, good. South Sudan is one of the newest countries, 7 years old. 85% of my time is up there. South Sudan is a war-torn country. They've been in a civil tribal war ever since they gained their own independence. Prior to that, all they knew was war. And so the roads, the any infrastructure that is there is so dangerous to travel. I see reports, we get reports, safety reports every single day. And daily I read in these reports of attacks on these roads where they were stealing the stuff that was being moved. It is such a poverty-stricken country. So we use airplanes so we can take these missionaries and take these ministries and take the word of God and the Bible and these treasures to the places nobody else has been. And all of this, we've been seeing God move. God move through us. God move through these other missionaries. And God move through the local church and the local pastors. But sometimes God moves in tragedy. Last September, there was a shooting at a boarding school right behind our house. A lot of you might remember hearing about this story. 7 young students were killed that night, and 17 were injured. One of the first boys killed was a boy by the name of Peter. Peter was an orphan boy from Locatogio that we had kind of taken in and we were sponsoring. We were sponsoring his school fees. We were taking care of his other needs. But on his breaks, he would always be at the house. He would always come to Mama Lorena and ask for prayers and spend time with Lorena. And I got to spend a lot of time with him myself. And he didn't have a father. And so just a blessing to be with this boy. Amazing young man. Absolutely loved Jesus. He loved teaching Sunday school. Every time a revival or a church event would come into town, he was always one of the first ones going out, walking out to all the little villages around to get the youth to come in. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. During the event, he would translate parts of the event into the local language if it was not in it. Amazing young man. Academically, he was number one in his class. Yet God chose to take him. For the past year, we had been very involved in Peter's life and he in ours. We were also very involved in his funeral. He was the first of the 7 to be buried there in Loki. And a large portion of the village showed up. And I had the honor and privilege of being asked to speak a few words at part of his funeral. It was a very sad day for us. But that day opened up doors that we had never had open to us before. Because just as the village had lost one of their own, they knew how much Peter meant to us. And in just the same way, we lost him as well. We were now one of them. From that point on, we had more opportunities and more people coming up to us and more people accepting us than anything else we had done in 3 years. It was an opportunity to reach out. Tragedy unites people. Since then, we've been involved with a number of students. This is Emmanuel. He was also injured in that shooting. I've had a chance to fly a lot of these students from where they were receiving medical treatment back to Locochogio. It was incredible to see every time I would land, the town would come out to the airstrip. And they would pile in to see these young students come back. And we were right at the front of that with our airplanes and our love and just being able to bring them back to their families. This is Emmanuel. He lost his leg in that. We've been a part of being able to get him to a hospital where he could safely and successfully have that leg removed. And I think as of this month, he should be getting a brand new leg that we've been able to help support. Supporters such as you have been able to help us facilitate getting that leg. December 2016, Christmas 2016, December 23rd, AIM Air flew into northern part of South Sudan to evacuate all of our missionaries out. They'd spent the last three nights hunkered down in their homes as bullets whizzed through their windows, not aimed at them, but caught in the crossfire of a tribal war. For the next couple weeks, the UN was able to come in and stabilize the area enough for AIM Air to be able to come in and pull all those missionaries out. For the next couple weeks, Mabon, the village, was tied in a civil war. People fled their homes and took shelter in the bush. Hundreds were killed. Thousands were displaced. Our missionaries waited about 3 months before they were able to get back in, not knowing what to expect. Anything not bolted down or cemented down was gone. All of their compounds, their houses, their school was destroyed. The clinic was spared. They focused all of their forces and security forces on the clinic, and they spared that. But they didn't know what to expect when they went back in. But they were bound and determined to rebuild it. For the next several months, I did about over a dozen flights of taking supplies and housing goods and small teams in to assess the damage and start putting back together solar systems and houses. They were determined to go back and finish the work God had sent them there for. Slowly, we took the rest of the team in to resume that work. Christmas 2017... we were on call at AIM Air, Locochogio being the closest station to them with airplanes. And so we were on call leading up Christmas 2017, waiting for that call, come get us. That call never came. Instead, we started hearing reports of how one tribe of the two sent a delegation of choir to the other tribe to sing worship songs and praise songs and Christmas songs to this other tribe. The very next day, the receiving tribe sent a choir delegation back. What was war a year before was now celebration and love, and kindness, and understanding. A big part of that was that right there. That is the first Mabon Bible in their language. That's why they wanted to get back there. Because they knew they had to finish the work God sent them for. It was an amazing celebration when these Bibles showed up. We took thousands of these Bibles in there. For the first time, they had the Word of God in their own language. We take this for granted. How many of us have 4 or 5 of these on our shelves? How many of us have 3, 4, 5, 10, 100 different variations of this on our phone? I've been to many places up there where pastors will take a portion of this and very carefully separate it out. And another pastor will take the next section. And that's what they'll preach on for a few months. And then the next pastor will take a few sections. And then after a few months or after a year or whatever the time frame is, they'll trade those parts of the Bible because they've only got one. They've only got one in their language. Yeah, how many do we have? The Bible, the Word of God, is precious to these people. And that's why we're there. That's why we're there. One of the songs that was sang this morning, "Bear the cross while you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasures you found." Isn't that what God calls us to do? I can continue to tell stories, many, many stories of just witnessing how God was moving in all these different areas. Some stories I'd not believe myself had I not witnessed them. Stories that only God could create. I want to have Lorena come up. You at Adventure. I do want to say, you at Adventure, you guys are a huge part of these stories because you sent us. You commissioned us to go and be a part of that. You have prayed for us. You have sacrificed finances for us to be there. We can never thank you enough for doing that. So you guys are a huge part. Take glory in that. And a huge part of these stories. I do want to have Lorena come up and just share real briefly, or as however long she wants, about her ministry with the Honor Group ladies.
It's good to be back. So while Joel is off flying and doing his exotic things, the kids and I pretty much stay at home. We stay in Locotchogio. Renee finished her freshman year doing an online school with American teachers. Ian finished up his last year of homeschool, and he will be heading into online high school as well. So that is a part of my day, is just holding down the home front, which is a job in itself. People will ask me, what's your favorite part of being in Africa? And I think that my favorite part is being more than I ever thought I could be. Doing things that I never thought I'd be doing. Impacting people that I never thought I could. Watching God move in ways that can, as Joel said, that can only be Him, is my favorite part. The last time I shared, I told you about the Honor Group. These ladies are... were brought together about 10 years ago by some Swedish missionaries. These missionaries had come and saw a huge need in Locotchogio. There were all these ladies who had 3, 4, 5 kids and no husbands, no way to support themselves, no way to support their families, no work, no ability to provide for themselves. And so they brought them together and they taught them how to make jewelry, which you'll see in the back. They taught them how to work in a bakery. They were starting to teach them how to work together. When these ladies, when I first met them 4 years ago, they were fighting all the time. They were bickering. They were fighting. They didn't trust each other. They didn't trust anybody. It's a hard life living up there. You learn self-preservation. You learn to grab what you can get. And you learn, these ladies learned, that a woman came and stole their husband away. Women are not my friends. I don't trust them. So 4 years ago, I started teaching devotions on Monday mornings. And we would study the Bible and we would pray together through a translator. I speak a little bit of their language, but not enough to teach well. So I do have a translator. Like that. I need a translator. And we learned early on that God was moving through these ladies and through this group. Miriam is the lady in the middle, in the white. She's always got the biggest smile. She's the oldest lady in the group and just a delight. She came to group one day, and her heart was just heavy. There was a woman in her village that had given birth and could no longer speak. Now, for this language where there's not so much reading and writing, all the communication between mother and daughter would be through voice, through talking. And her heart broke because this baby girl would never hear her mama's voice. And so I asked, well, how old's this baby? And she said, I think she's about 6 months old now. Well, I'm thinking, well, if she had a stroke when she gave birth, 6 months later, there's not much hope. But we prayed for her. And the next week, I asked Miriam, how's the mama? And she looked at me like I was crazy, and she said, the mama does not speak. And I prayed to the Lord really quick. I said, Lord, what do I do with this? Her heart is breaking. What do I do with this? And I felt the Lord saying, pray again. Pray differently. And so I prayed this time against anything that might be coming against her, any evil that may be trying to stop her from this relationship with her daughter. And the following week, when Miriam came back, I asked, how's the mama? And I didn't even have to ask, because Miriam's eyes were glistening. And through the translator, she said, the mama speaks. And so it was a chance for us to see as a group that God is moving. God is moving through prayer. And they started to see these defenseless women who had been victims pretty much their whole life had power. There's power in prayer. And they were starting to see that. After the tragedy that took Peter, the whole community was just shaken. Everybody was shaken. And so that happened on a Friday night, Monday morning. Saturday morning, thank you. And on Monday morning, I was supposed to teach. And I said, Lord, what do I do with this? Where do I go? And he said, speak to them about fear. Fear is huge with this people group. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of the neighboring tribe. They're afraid of getting attacked, especially the women. They're afraid of getting attacked. They're afraid of not pleasing the witchcraft gods. They're afraid of each other. They're afraid of sickness and death. They're constantly afraid. And so Monday morning came, and there was a new lady in the group that had decided to come that day. And after I was done teaching about fear and who we are in Jesus Christ and how fear has no place for those who are walking in Jesus Christ, this lady named Mary asked me for prayer. She was a Christian, but her home was surrounded by people practicing witchcraft. And she said, for the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to sleep. I feel that they're trying to come and kill me multiple times during the night. I've experienced such an attack, and it does feel like they're trying to kill you. And so she was experiencing that and not able to sleep. Every time she would try to eat, she felt like throwing up. She wasn't able to eat. And when she had walked in, and the whole time through the teaching, her eyes were down. She never once lifted her eyes to make eye contact. Her head was down. Her shoulders were forward. So I spoke to her again about her identity of who she is in Jesus Christ, how the devil and witchcraft has no control over her. It can't. Jesus is one. I reminded her that there's no reason to be afraid. And we had gone through the various scriptures that say there's no need to be afraid. And we prayed for her. As we prayed, she started to cry. And then it broke into her whole body started shaking. Her shoulders were shaking. And I stopped and I asked the translator, is she okay? And she asked her and she said, I felt the evil leave. So we praised God. But I warned her, I said, the evil will try to come back. But I'm going to send you with a treasure, with a solar Bible that has the truth of Jesus Christ. You stand firm in that truth. You stand firm in the identity that you have with Jesus in you. And you push back the evil because it has no authority in you anymore. The next week, Mary came back. And she was standing up, and her face was aglow. And she said the evil did try to come back. But she played her little treasure in the darkness of the night, and the words came through her. And she said, "Evil, go." And the evil left. She said, "Just like you said." And so she came a few more times. And then I had a chance a few months later to sit down. It was just a situation with her and I and someone to translate. And I asked her if she understood what had happened. And she said, "No, not really." And so I took the time to explain how her identity in Christ and what is offered to her when Jesus talks about freedom, everything that I learned here at Adventure, how that sets you free. The enemy no longer has a hold on you. No part of evil has a hold on you. I explained it until she finally understood. And then I said, "Now you need to go and teach others. You can't just keep this for yourself. You need to not let your brothers and sisters in Christ stay in bondage." God moved into what was intended for evil, and he brought freedom. And there's nothing more that I love than seeing my sister set free. You know that. So that situation kind of brought to kind of a conclusion for me that God had moved my Anna ladies to almost like a kindergarten faith where they're fighting and bickering and can't get along and just a very simple teaching to they were learning. They were hearing the truth. They were acting on the truth. And they were going out to their neighbors and spreading the truth. They were praying and encouraging each other. And I thought about Paul, who taught for a few years in each place, and then he would move on. And I thought to myself, I think my ladies are ready for me to move on. I think they've learned what they need to learn, and they're ready to step out. And so this is where I'm going to let Joel come back up.
She's got a ton of really cool stories like that. We only had time for a couple of them, but if you get a chance to sit down with her, she'd be more than happy to share just some amazing stories of how God has moved through these ladies. In the back, there is some jewelry back there. That is jewelry that was made by that group of ladies right there, and we're selling it for them. 100% of that 100% of it goes back to them and to supporting those ladies. So if you'd be interested in some authentic Turkana jewelry, some beadwork, there's some really beautiful stuff back there. Feel free to go back, and Ian and Renee will be back there working with that. But hey, you moved my spot. That's right, there we go. As Lorena was mentioning, that we've come to a point where we feel God moving us again. We said 5 years ago when we first went out to Kenya that we would be there for 4 years. And then we would see what God would do with us or what God would have us do. Would he bring us back? Would he have us stay? Would he move us? What's God calling us to do? And we feel God calling us to move again. We've been asking the question, is that in God's will? What would you have us do? Where would you have us go? With Lorena's realization that the ministry that she has been involved with has matured to a point of being able to take itself and grow, with Renee and Ian hitting their teenage years and limited opportunity and connection within the town of Okeechobee and where we're at, with AMER as an organization looking at ministries and areas we fly, a lot of that has been shifting as well as areas that we've gone into have become mature enough that they can now sustain themselves, we're now going deeper and deeper into areas that we haven't been before. And that's kind of to the west area. We're looking at the question, is Locachogiel the best place for us to be based? AIM Air Management has been looking at, we have three bases, one in Locachogiel, Kenya, our main one in Nairobi, and then up in Uganda, we've had a mission base there for about 6 years that has been, it's a lot more central to a lot of these places that we're trying to get to. And that base has struggled for a few years now with only one pilot and a non-flying base manager. And that base manager will be stepping down in December. And so we've been asking God, what would you have us do? Where would you have us go? What can we do to continue the work you've sent us here? And so we feel God is moving us towards Arua, Uganda. There it is. Arua, Uganda is a little bit, it's on the west side of Uganda. It's right on the border of the Congo and a lot closer to CAR, places that we've been starting to work a lot more. This process is not an easy one. It requires probably closing down Loki. It requires us probably saying goodbye to a lot of friends, a lot of people that we've got to know there. But we're looking at where can we be the biggest impact. And so we've been asked to consider going to Arua, Uganda, being a pilot mechanic over there, and continuing as a base manager as well. And so we're looking at going from three bases to two larger bases and having Arua, Uganda be the primary location to reach all those five areas, South Sudan, Central African Republic, Congo, still work in Uganda, but then also still be able to facilitate the ministries in Kenya and out of Loki that we've had. We'll keep a house, the mission will keep a house probably there in Loki, where we'll still be able to access that. But we'll be able to do a lot more with a lot more families in one location and more airplanes out of Arua. Pray with us as we seek God's will. What is his next move? Is it for us to fill this role? I'd like to leave you with this. How has God been moving you? I'm sure it's probably not halfway around the world. Or is it? Maybe it is. The harvest is ready, and the workers are few. Is it moving you into maybe a new job? Is it moving you into a new location? Is it moving you to step into something where you've had a fear and a wall and a block for so many years that's been keeping you from who God designed you to be? How's God been trying to move you? Or how have you not been letting him allow you to be moved? Take a moment this week, reflect on that. And if you feel you are right where you're supposed to be, that you are in the center of God's will for your life, praise God. Because like that song said, there's no place I'd rather be than in the center of his love and in the center of his will. I want to thank you guys so much for all of your support, your prayers. You guys are our family. And we love you guys. We thank you for all you've done.
You guys want to come up here? I'd just love for us to pray for them while we have them here with us. Thank you for sharing, bringing those stories back and challenging us as well. So, Lord, we just pray for this family. We pray for the Kings. And, Lord, I just want to pray this morning for their decision ahead of them as they consider going to Arua. Lord, I pray that you would make that clear. God, I thank you that they have the history of seeing your voice direct them into the center of your will. And so I pray that this would be as well, just a clear word from you, that you would bring not only everything together to show what you desire for them and that you would provide for them in that, Lord, but also in their hearts, each of them, Renee and Ian as well, just hearing your voice and having a confidence and a peace in knowing what the next step is for them, next adventure ahead is for them as a family, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them with their time back in the States, sharing these stories, but also just having times of connection and refilling, refreshing in you, Lord. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to hear the incredible stories of what you're doing there, Lord. May it inspire us to believe you in faith here as well. In Jesus' name, amen.